Amen. God is on the move. Do you believe that today?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe God is doing some stuff. You guys got to get a little more focused, though. I'm telling you, if I'm going to preach this message today, I can't preach it with people out there like, oh, yeah, I think it's going to be okay. We need some excitement, you know. God is exciting. If you live a Christian life, you'll know God is exciting. Because I'll tell you what, I never have any idea what's going to happen every morning when I wake up. I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know where He's going to take me, where I'm going to go, what's going to happen. God is on the move, and it's exciting to be in His house. So praise the Lord. Today I'm going to be preaching a message from John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 15. Today we'll be in John chapter 15, looking at verses 9 through 12. That's John chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. God's word says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Let us bow our heads and go to Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, for letting us assemble in your home to be able to worship here, Lord. God, we know this building is not the church, Lord. The church is everywhere, God. Where two or more are gathered, Lord, you're there among their midst, Lord. God, I pray for people all over the world today that are worshiping your holy name, Lord. God, I pray that whatever problems we come, Lord, we'd be able to leave them here. Lord, I pray, God, that we have a sin or something that's against us, Lord, that we haven't repented of, we haven't asked for forgiveness. I pray that today is the day that we make it right with you. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day they'd give you their life and know for a fact that they're on their way to heaven. God, you've been so good to us in so many ways, Lord. We just give you praise and thanks for all that you do, but we thank you most for giving your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Amen. All right, so today I have a question for you to think about. Just one simple question. One simple but profound question. Are you listening? No, you're not listening. Quiet. All right, we're going to try this again. Today I have a question for you. One simple question. A simple question, but it's profound. Are you listening?
Yes.
All right, that's fantastic. The question is this: what have you done to change the community we live in? What have you done to change the community you live in? You see, we hear about all these bad things happening. We see about tough times happening. But what have you done as an individual to make the community of Emporia a better place? Watch this little video clip as you think about that.
What does the world mean to you? Your house, your street, any further area that you want to build a mess? Why should we think about the world? I mean, after all, what does the world expect of us? What does the world expect of you? What if the world is just a big disappointment? Unless take the things that you don't like about this world and you flip them upside down, you can start that today. This is your assignment.
What a great question, isn't it? What have you done to change the world we live in? That's the motto, that's the title of the sermon that we're talking about here today. If you think about it, what have you done over the past 10, 20, 30, 50 years that you've been alive to make the world a better place? Now, I don't know what you've done, but I know what Jesus has done. You see, Jesus, he done all kinds of great things to make our world a better place. Would you agree with that, Brother George?
Amen.
Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was just like many of you, me. He was happy, he laughed, he cried, he went through tough times, he was rejected. He had every emotion that we had. He ate, he drank, he encouraged others, he loved others. But what did Jesus do that would change the world forever?
Some would say he died on the cross for our sins.
That's correct. But today I want to focus on the thing that Jesus did that changed the world forever was he learned and taught us how to love unconditionally. Think about the place that our world would be if you and I knew how to love unconditionally. You see, Jesus said, you don't have to do a bunch of things to get into heaven. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. No, we didn't have to earn our forgiveness for Jesus to love us. We didn't even have to be good for Jesus to love us or accept us, did we? Because the Bible says in Romans 5, 8, it says what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus loved us with unconditional love. And Jesus is challenging us today. I believe God has given me this message to share with you today for a reason. That we need to love others unconditionally the same way Jesus loves us. I believe through God we can make Emporia a better place. I truly believe that, or I wouldn't be up here sharing that message with you today. Do you believe that? If you believe that, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, how many of you want to make this a better place? Let me see your hands. Do you want to make this a place that your grandkids can grow up? That your children can grow up? A place that you don't have to worry about robberies and thieveries? A place where people are worshiping the living God and loving each other unconditionally? Does that sound like a great place to you?
Yes.
Yes, amen. That's what I want too. So I'm going to share three challenges with you today. Three challenges. And I believe that if you and I accept these challenges and we follow these challenges, we can make the world a better place through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first scripture I want to share and the first challenge comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. You've heard this before in Matthew. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it unto this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the first challenge lies in the second part of the verse. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So let me ask you, who's your neighbor, church? Who's your neighbor, Dave? Who's your neighbor? Is that person sitting next to you in the pew? Yeah, that's your neighbor. Is it the person next to you at a gas pump? Yep, that's a neighbor. Is it that person who lives to the north, the south, the east, and the west of your house? Yeah, those are neighbors. Everybody is our neighbor, church. And so if we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, what does that mean? How do you love yourself? Does anybody feed themselves? Some more than others, right? Some more than others. Yeah, we feed ourselves. Do we clothe ourselves? Yeah, I mean, look at Melanie. She's got a Chicago Bulls shirt on. I told her, hey, I love the Chicago Bulls. That's great. You know, so yeah, we feed ourselves. We clothe ourselves, right? What else do we do? Do we have a place to live? Some of it's warm, some of it's cool. But we have somewhere to live. We provide ourselves shelter. Do we treat ourselves well? Yeah. If we have a great accomplishment in life, we want to celebrate that accomplishment. If we get a raise, what do? Go out to eat, right? At least at my house, you can tell. If something good happens to one of the kids, what do? Go out to eat, yeah. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. I mean, someday God is going to convict me to preach a sermon on gluttony, but luckily it's not today, so praise the Lord for that. But I'm telling you that if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, that means we have to take care of them just like we would take care of ourselves. Let me tell you about this. I have a mother-in-law, Deborah. I was over at her house, and I noticed she had a broken microwave. And as a kind son, I thought, I'm going to replace that microwave for her. Now, I didn't know how much these over-the-range microwaves cost, right? Microwaves, $50 at Walmart. Well, the over-the-range ones, they're not $50 at Walmart. So I can't even find them at Walmart. So then I go to one of those box stores, and I go over there, and I see them, and I'm like, I already told Shannon I want to do this. This is expensive. Your mom had a Maytag one? Really? Why didn't she have, like, the cheap hot point? Why does she have to have Maytag? Well, I don't know if you're going to do this for, you know, we should replace it with a nice one. Well, the nice one's $400. But they have a cheap one over here for $220. And Shannon asked me that same question, love your neighbor as yourself, but she asked it like this. Would you want the cheap one in your house? No. Do you know if you put the cheap one in my mom's house, who's going to be fixing it? Yep. So guess what? She got the nice one. We put it in there. We may have broke a piece of china while we were installing it, but that's not the point. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And so if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to treat them the same way you would be treated. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us. He's trying to tell us that we got to love them the way that we love ourselves if we want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. Jesus wants us to make a difference. But it's up to us if we're going to start loving our neighbors as ourselves. You know what's kind of sad? We have over 50 churches in Emporia, Kansas. 50 churches. Do you know that none of them are completely full? Why? I think part of it is because in the church, we are not reaching outside and loving our neighbors as ourselves. We got to do that. We got to practice that. That's what God is calling us to do today. So the Lord has put a heavy burden on my heart this week, and the first challenge he gave me was to love our neighbors as ourselves. What does that mean? It means to start loving the people in our community the same way that Jesus loves us, unconditionally. It doesn't matter what they've did or what they haven't done. We love them unconditionally. So that's the first challenge. Love your neighbors. Get out there and love the people in the community. Don't wait for them. Do something sweet today. The second challenge God's laid on my heart to share with you today comes from the book of 3 John, chapter 1, verse 11. Listen to this scripture. It says, "Loved ones, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." So the second challenge is simple. It's to do good like God does good. So the scripture tells us we're not to imitate evil. You know better than that, right? You know you're not supposed to imitate evil. But think about your life this week. Did you do anything evil this week? Did you put anybody down? Did you discourage someone? Did you lose your temper with someone maybe? Did you act evil in every way? Now, I don't have to stand here and tell you what that scripture says we're not supposed to imitate evil. We know better than that. But listen again, it says, "Loved ones, do not imitate what is evil, but do what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God." So the Lord wants us to do good like God has done good. What does that mean, to do good? Well, do is an action word, right? So if you're sitting here, you're learning about God, well, that's good. But are you doing good? Doing means you have to go out and do something. You have to get out there and spend time with the people in your community. And so God wants us to help his people. He wants us to help them with the talents God has blessed you with, whatever talents you may have. He wants you to help them with a kind word of encouragement. He wants you to listen to them if they're going through a tough time. Listen, men, without trying to fix their problems. The Bible says this. It says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain us. He will not let the righteous fall." However, doing good is not just limited to saying a bunch of words to people. Doing good requires actions. If you see your neighbor raking the leaves, maybe you should go help him rake the leaves. If you see somebody over there mowing their grass, maybe you might ask them if they need help weed eating, right? If you see somebody who's hungry or thirsty, instead of judging them of why they may be homeless or why they're hungry or thirsty, why don't you buy them a hamburger or get them something to drink? Again, it's not about what they do. Remember, Jesus loved you. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. It's about unconditional love. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts is this, pure and faultless, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Think about it. How long has it been since you visited somebody in the hospital? You don't have to be a pastor to do that. How long has it been since you went to a rest home and visited somebody? You don't have to be a pastor to do that either. People love visitors. How long has it been since you went to an assisted living center and just listened to somebody talk, just listened to their story? How long has it been since you went into somebody's house that was shut in and they couldn't get out, just to visit with them for a while? Folks, it's our job to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's our job to get out there and do something. I don't know about you, but I really want to change the community of Emporia, and I believe it can happen. I want to see God working in every family, not just those who go to our church, not just the ones in the church down the street. I want to see God working in every single family. You know how we can love our neighbors? We can be like Jesus. Jesus spent time with tax collectors, prostitutes, kings. Now, men, I'm not telling you to spend time with prostitutes on your own. Your wives would not appreciate that. But if you go with a, never mind, you understand how you're supposed to do that, right? But what I'm saying is that if we want to love people like Jesus, why don't we go out to Abundant Harvest and serve some people like we're going to this Monday? Why don't you go out to Abundant Harvest once a week or once a month and just have a meal with some of those people? You can grab a meal. They're free. Just grab a meal. Sit down next to some people and start talking to them. Listen to what's on their heart. What about going to our homeless shelters for the men and women? They have different services there that you can even attend. But going there and maybe just talking with them or going out to the park with them or sharing an encouraging word. I mean, there are lots of things we can do in our community to start showing love. Wouldn't it be amazing if you were at the grocery store and somebody else was behind you and you looked at them and God put the burden on your heart to buy their groceries? Wouldn't that be a blessing to them? What about if you were, say, went over and saw a neighbor that was going through a hard time, that was struggling, and you just stopped by the store and picked up a couple flowers and you brought them to him and said, I hope this cheers your day up a little. You see, God wants to use us in all kinds of ways. There is no limit to what God can do with you if you'll open up your heart. You know what I want to do today? I want to encourage you to get out there and help our community. I want to encourage you to get out there and help our community. I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to give every single person in our church today a $10 bill. Now, this is not the church's money, so don't get upset, treasurer. This is the money that God has blessed Shannon and I with through working at our jobs. I strongly believe you can use this to make a difference in the community. I don't care what you do with it, but I want you to help somebody with it. I want you to go out and buy a flower for somebody, buy a meal for somebody. I want you to, you know, buy some yarn and crochet them something. I don't care what you do with it, but do something with it to be able to help others. And then what I want, the only thing I want, if you would, and if God has laid it on your heart, is next Sunday at church, be prepared to stand up for just a minute and say, I was able to help my neighbor by doing X, Y, or Z. Because when you do that, you can encourage us and give us ideas how we can keep helping our neighbors. Because I'm telling you, folks, if we help one another, it'll make a big difference in the community, for our families and for everybody else. Again, it's not about money. It's about using our gifts and our talents and whatever resources we have. This is one of the resources that we have. And we want to share it with you to go and make a difference. So here, Brother George.
Now, what you do with that $10, remember, is completely up to you.
But what I'd love for you to do is bless somebody in our community. Make a difference and share it with us next week. You see, God has called you and He has called me to be the light on the hilltop. It's time that we become that light on a hilltop. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, it's time that our churches rise up and get in the light. Our churches have been in the dark way too long. We've stayed within our walls. We haven't shared the love of God with people outside, with our neighbors, with the community. And you know what the result is? Violence, anger, rage, destroyed families, heartbroken children. Folks, we can put a stop to that if we'll follow what God tells us to do. Use the resources and the blessings God has given you to give to others and to help others. So the first challenge God gave us today is love your neighbors as yourself. The second challenge is do good like God does good. And our third and final challenge today is to reach the world for God. John chapter 14, verse 14 says, or verse 12 says, verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name and I will do it. The scripture says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. So let me ask you a question. What has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for you? Think about it. He's forgiven you. He's forgiven me of sin. He's restored our relationship with God so we can go to heaven. He's given many of us peace. Jesus has healed families. He's healed marriages. He's called many people in this room to accept him as his Lord and Savior. He's answered prayers of healing for people that are in this congregation and even others like Sister Connie's brothers that were just recently healed. He's answered prayers of direction by giving Brother George the direction to start a choir. He's answered prayers of comfort for people that have lost loved ones. He's answered Lewis's prayer of finding a Christian woman. And now he's happily married to my mother-in-law, Deborah. Those are just a few things that the Lord has done for us. That doesn't even scratch the surface of everything God has done. Now it's your turn, folks. And it's my turn to pay it forward. We need to help people with the same heart that Jesus helped us with. That's what we got to do. The Great Commission tells us in Matthew 28, says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. God calls us to go out and make disciples of all nations. Everywhere, everybody. So we got to get up and get going. We got to give our testimony and share what God has done in our life. You know why I want to share Jesus with people? Because he's done crazy awesome things in my life. And I know he can do that in your life and other people's lives too. So we got to stop being bottled up. We got to get outside these walls. And we got to start loving our world and loving our community just the way that Jesus did. Now in the beginning of the sermon, I asked you the question. What have you done to change the world for today? What have you done to change the world? Think about that again as you watch this clip before we close. Oh, Now is your chance. Now is your chance. Isn't it time that we pay it forward, folks, and share the love of Christ? If you'll just choose to help a few people, and in turn they turn and see the love of Christ, and they help a few people, our whole community, before you know it, could be filled with the love of Christ, starting with you, right here, today. It all starts with you. The Lord wants to do it. The question I have is, what do you want to do? Today the Lord's given me three challenges to lay on your heart. One, love your neighbors as yourself. Two, do good as God does good. And three, reach the world for the Lord Jesus. Today is the day, church. Not tomorrow, not next day, not a week from now. Today is the day to begin changing the world for Jesus Christ. And one person at a time, this world can become a better place. Live for the Lord. Accept these challenges from God and put them into practice. And watch your family, our community, and our city change. Let us stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, God, for this message, Lord. Help us as a church to get outside these walls, to be faithful to you, Lord, in all that we do, at our work, when we're in recreation. God, when we go out to eat after service today, help us, Lord, to love others the way that you love us. Help us, God, to be the men and women you want us to be. God, I want to see this world a different place, and you do too, or you wouldn't have laid this burden on my heart today. Maybe there's somebody here who's struggling. As they were looking at the message and watching the videos and listening today, God, maybe you placed a person on their heart today. Someone that they could help, a neighbor, a friend, a cashier, anybody. God, if there's someone here that is going through that today, I pray, God, that you just give them the courage to come up and pray. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know what it's like to be loved unconditionally. Maybe they've wanted it all their life. They can't find it at home. They can't find it at school, at work. They can't even find it, unfortunately, maybe even in this church. God, I pray that you would bring them forward to come and pray. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and today's the day they want to make that decision. Whatever need you have, you're welcome to come and pray at this time.
Not to get anything in return, Lord, but just to show.